I was halfway along Taraby Lane when I realised I'd left behind my car keys. I remembered that I'd taken them out of the pocket of my trousers when I sat down at the Grahams' kitchen table. They were tight-fitting trousers and the keys made an uncomfortable bump. Stupidly, I'd put them not on the table in front of me, but on top of my camera case on the floor, and they must have slipped off, or the dog knocked them off. It was embarrassing to have to go back, but obviously I did have to. I ran. I wanted to collect the keys before John got back from posting his letter. I was panting as I turned in at the gate of Glebe House, hoping Mary herself hadn't gone out. But as I ran up the path, she was standing at the front door, dangling the keys. "Silly girl," she said. I gasped my thanks and reached for the keys, but she held on to them. I thought maybe I hadn't apologised enough and began to say sorry for disturbing her again, but she stared at me and said, "George Senhouse." I didn't understand. "Yes," I said. "He came here looking for your mother once. Didn't like to remind John. Actually had the cheek to come asking if John knew her address. Said he had something he wanted to give her. Of course, John had had the heave-ho and didn't know her whereabouts. He had always thought Senhouse had stolen her from him. Daft, both of them. Well, take your keys. Just thought I'd tell you. Don't know why." And she handed over the keys and turned to go back into the house. "Miss Graham," I called, and she stopped. "Miss Graham, is George Senhouse dead?"
"Dead? Good heavens, no. But he is in a nursing home, I believe, somewhere outside London. Not a well man, but not dead. His sister still lives in Whitehaven. No, in Maryport. I shouldn't go bothering her, though. She's a bit of a tartar. It's going to rain again. You should get back to your car."
I felt that strange excitement again, that weird sense of elation, as though I was going to discover something crucial to my understanding of Susanna, and I tried hard to caution myself to be sensible and to remember the many disappointments already. But I knew, as I walked rapidly back towards the city centre, that of course I had to try to track down George Senhouse. Maryport was not far away, nearer than Whitehaven, but I didn't necessarily need to go there at all. I could get the number from directory inquiries and telephone. Almost back in the city, I stopped and leaned on the stone bridge and watched the water. The traffic on the road behind me was so heavy and noisy, it wasn't exactly the place to stand and stare, but I wanted to pause and calm myself down, and I liked the river. Luckily, I saw a man taking his dog down some hidden steps, and I followed him and walked a little way along the bank in the opposite direction to him. It was too wet to sit on the grass, but I came to a big log and perched there for a moment, just leaning against it. Susanna had been a mere visitor in Glebe House. There had been nothing of her there permeating the atmosphere. She'd been in and out of it all those years ago and left nothing of herself in it, only a lingering wisp of memory in the minds of two elderly people. I took the address book out of my bag and fingered it. Such a little item, full of half-promises. I ran my finger down the torn alphabet and stopped at M, an hotel in Manchester, another in Malvern, and an address, of course, in Maryport. How simple puzzles are if you know the solution first. I tore the page out and put it carefully in my wallet. I wouldn't try fitting the name Senhouse to this address and getting a phone number until I was home. Meanwhile, I had something to do. I looked around and found some small stones, and tearing a piece off the street map, I made a parcel out of it all, tying it securely with an elastic band I'd used to pull back my hair. Then I threw the package into the river, where it sank immediately and was pulled away underneath by the force of the current. I felt relieved, more than relieved, pleased.